It's our second showcase for Science Week, and we're checking in with Forrest Bench Wizard Blast. Will all their equations add up? Find out on this episode of America's Next Top Podcaster. Welcome to America's Next Top Podcaster. I'm Brian Ibbett. We're in the middle of Science Podcast Week, and we're checking in on Gabriel, Melissa, and Travis, a.k.a. Forrest Bench Wizard Blast. They'll get some time with Tom, and at the end of the episode, you'll hear the submission for this week's challenge. But before any of that, let's check in with Travis. I'm here with Travis of Forrest Bench Wizard Blast. How you doing, Travis?
I'm doing okay.
Are you recovered from last night's judging an elimination episode?
I think so. Yeah. That was a rough one.
But
it was, it was also good feedback to get because, I mean, in the end, we were missing some things. So. Mm-hmm.
It was a good concept. I like the idea of a super fight kind of thing, right? Where you've got unrelated things and the comedy is there to be the battle between those things, right? Mm-hmm. Things that you'd never, ever be able to compare on an even playing field and having to come up with outrageous reasons why one thing is better than the other. And I think there is great potential for comedy. The delivery, especially the wrestling style delivery. Boy, on a night when Jerry's going to wrestling, hearing that wrestling style delivery, great timing.
Yeah.
But I think that maybe was diluting the basis, the main focus, which should have been that comedy. But how is the team recovering from losing Reed?
Overall, we're getting there. We've been talking a lot today in Discord and throwing out ideas and just kind of, really doubling down and kind of steeling ourselves for this new challenge, which we're pretty excited about, the science-based podcast. I know Melissa really jumped on that and I'm excited about it too. It's just trying to find the right topic now.
Right, the right story, the right thing to focus on. Yeah, you guys do have a secret weapon in Melissa for this one. I think that this is really going to be an opportunity for her to shine. And she even mentioned in the discussion last night that, she felt a little overwhelmed or overpowered or basically working on stuff that she wasn't as happy with. She'll be able to absolutely rock it this week with something that is 100% in her wheelhouse, I think.
Very much so, yes. And you could kind of, when I was listening to stuff and editing, you could kind of tell, like, that was part of what was missing, was there wasn't a passion to kind of what was going mm-hmm. on last week. So I do think that this topic and kind of taking the lessons that we learned from last week and really utilizing those and it being in her wheelhouse is going to help a ton. I love science based stuff. It's always fascinating to me. I don't know enough about it. Sure. It's an opportunity to learn as well. So, I'm excited and I think we're going to come into it with a real good energy.
Excellent. Yeah. I think, the fact that she's excited about it and the fact that you guys are excited about it is going to make such a big difference. And it's a tough thing when you've got a subject that you're given as opposed to something that you go out and find yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Say, all right, go find a point counterpoint topic and argue it and be believable. There are those situations where you're given a task in podcasting. It doesn't happen so much when you're doing it on your own, but if you're doing it professionally and a company hires you to do a show, it might not be a thing that you're excited about doing. And it can be really tough to find that element in there that you are excited about. And I think all three teams struggled with that last week. And from what I'm hearing, all three teams are excited about this week. I think Melissa might be the most excited out of everybody, but
yeah, you could hear her excitement. And Gabe is too. We're all just kind of, we're ready to, I guess, make up for last week and really put our all into this. So
get a little redemption. Yeah for sure.
Definitely.
What kinds of things are you wanting to avoid this week? Other than Jerry yelling at you.
And, look, that's Jerry and I'm half expected that to happen, but we really want to avoid sounding overly rehearsed and overly like we're reading. We want it to seem more genuine, more us, who we are, as well as having that informative conversation. So, you know, it's trying to find that balance of learning and entertaining.
Sure.
You know, when I think science and entertaining, I immediately go back to like Mr. Wizard. And then from that, it was Beakman's World and Bill Nye. So that those parts of like science where they could take concepts that, you know, I were way over my head at that point, but could make them entertaining and make me want to learn more about it. And so I kind of want to figure out a way to do that without it coming off. I don't want it to be overly cheesy or kind of overly produced, I guess. It's that genuine feeling we want to get.
And figuring out that balance between making it in like a direct informative lecture style or conversational. I know there's a happy medium somewhere in there, and I'm sure you guys are going to find it. Excellent. Well, go ahead.
Oh, and I was just going to, and not to make it be too dry either, because you can swing too far in either direction. So it is definitely finding a balance.
Yeah. And it's also finding, like you're saying, that those elements that made it really entertaining to watch Mr. Wizard, Bill Nye, taking a high level concept and relating it to everyday things, mm-hmm. you know, the hair dryer and the ping pong ball, or the, you know, not everybody can get their hands on a tube of liquid nitrogen, but you can simulate some stuff with ice and an air compressor or something mm-hmm. like that. So fantastic. Well, I'm really excited to see what you guys come up with this week. And actually excited to hear what Tom has for advice for you guys as well.
Yeah, I am too. Tom was helpful last week, even if it didn't end up turning out great for us. But just having that time with Tom really does help to sort of focus the efforts. And we've got some good ideas we're already throwing around of some topics we want to do. And so it'll be really good to kind of talk with him and see what he thinks about those and how we can kind of distill that down and focus that into, you know, an episode of what should feel like, you know, a series. So I'm looking
and
forward
Tom,
to that.
And Tom has that great science and technology background already. So he'll be able to delve more into that subject than in point counterpoint, for example. So that'll be great. Get him for all that stuff. I think 10 minutes is really going to go by fast tomorrow with Tom.
That's the only thing I'm worried about is how quick that time's going to go by.
Well, I'll be listening. I'll be spying from my perch above the virtual city of Next Top Podcaster. And I'll be looking forward to hearing what you guys ask.
All right. Excellent.
Great. Thanks, Travis.
Thank you.
Let's see how things went when they met with the coach, Tom Merritt.
You guys did a great job last week. I'm sorry that don't feel that way. We can talk a little bit, though, right as we get started. Like, there were certain things that, and I think the judges made a lot of these clear, that you could have improved on. What do you feel like you would do different?
Started differently.
Personally, I would go with a whole different direction.
Okay. What do you mean by go a different direction?
I think I would have done a different format style and different topic.
What kind of format would you have done? I'm very curious.
One of the things that I brought up was the game Super Fight. I don't know if you are familiar with that, but, just something where my thought idea was you like pick three random things and then you kind of have to form a debate based on those things, because that was still keeping Reed's weirdness, but was kind of a different way to go with the debate rather than just two people arguing a point.
I think where you fell down is something that I'm going to be telling all these teams is you're starting to figure out what things you have skills that are good for and what they aren't. Reading scripts is a skill. Writing scripts is a skill. Being funny, acting is a skill. Creating production elements is a skill. And you have to be honest with yourselves and each other about which of those you're good at and which you're not. You had a very heavily scripted and acted comedy. So you had lots of pitfalls that you put in front of yourself. And it's going to be easier for you to do roundtable stuff that's off the cuff, even though that makes edits harder, because that just makes you sound more natural. So again, be honest with each other and yourselves about like, okay, you were able to do reads well, but I'm not. So let's not put me in that position again and vice versa, right? Then build your ideas and capitalize on what your skills actually are. And yes, push the boundaries. But one of the keys of pushing the boundaries is knowing where your boundaries are. It's not pushing the boundaries to be outside the boundaries. So that's my big takeaway. And that's why I was asking you particularly how you would have reformatted it. Because if you had done the same thing with a more, with a less scripted approach, I think it still could have come off. Because, you know, I'm a sucker for puns. Maybe that's why I liked it. But I love the concept.
Yeah. And I think that did come up a couple of times. Like I feel like I was very upfront saying like, I don't do fake or scripted or things I'm not passionate about very well, but I also like knew, you know, this is a challenge and I need to push myself, and eventually just sucked it up and was like, I just have to do this for the team. Yeah.
And you know what? That's fine. There's no shame in any of that or making these mistakes. That's how you figure out how to get to the next week. Is like, okay, now we know, right? So let's focus on next week. What are we thinking of doing?
Okay, so we're going back to our roots, so to speak, and we are going really real. And our idea is based around depression, and I think that we are struggling with like an overall podcast theme, but our idea we want to focus is on like depression being an illness and what makes it an illness, because I have had experiences with specifically a guy that I dated that always made me feel like I need a reason to be depressed, and that I don't know, that's where this is coming from, is like it's an illness and it's not like just
so many things. So one of the things we want to go right away is going on the science of depression. Is it going to be sciencey enough? Because when you say science, we worry about that you're looking for laser beams and technology in that regard. and rather than just a straight up, like, here's the chemical science of what is depression.
Yeah, it all depends on how you approach it. Go ahead, Melissa.
I was just going to say, like, the format wise, we want to incorporate, of course, the science and get your input on that. But we also want to put in our personal stories mixed in with that somehow.
That is a putting some pitfalls in your way, because the assignment is a science podcast, not a personal story podcast. And while depression absolutely has science in it, and I love the idea of you making a science podcast about that, because it is important to let people know, like, hey, depression isn't a thing I made up in my head, right? Like, it has factual science behind it. If you skew too heavily to your personal stories, then it just sounds like a personal stories podcast, because you're not experts in it. So,
exactly.
So I wouldn't hesitate to use your personal stories as examples, but I would definitely make it 60-40 and maybe really work it as a newsy documentary of, you know, why people don't think depression, maybe even a history of science approach could work, but you need a focus that is science oriented. Sure. And then you need to plot out what that is and then figure out where the personal stories can help illustrate it as spice. But don't start with the personal stories or you'll end up going down that road too far, I think.
Okay, that's good to know.
One of the things that we also wanted to do for the format is, because since it's obviously such a deep and broad topic, we're talking about doing it to where it's like a Monday through Friday show. So basically the who, what, where, when, why, we're just fiddling with names of like,
I see, to focus it a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Mondays would be who, Tuesdays would be what, Wednesdays, where, when, why, messing with the show name of like one day at a time.
Mm-hmm. So the week would the week theme would be depression. And then like we would do the who, what, where, when, why, like hyper-focused on a specific topic of depression.
Which one would you focus on for this episode?
This would probably be what?
The what?
Yes.
What is depression?
Right. Okay. I think that's good. It's good to focus it like that. I like that conceit. Norman Lear is not going to sue you for one day at a time. You can't copyright a title, so you're good there.
Right.
And I think that, you know, the name might make judges think it's more of a self-help-ish take, but as long as your episode has the science in it and you're doing what, I think that helps focus it on that.
Yeah, the name is flexible. We're just trying to come up with something that could at least spell out what we're doing.
And I think that's a good way to do it. That's a nice framework to kind of wrap it around your head. What is depression? I realize that I sort of assumed in my earlier comments an angle for you, but I think that fits in what you're talking about, which is explaining to people what depression is and what it isn't, and kind of combating some misconceptions about it by using science. I think that could be a really strong way to go. It's all in the writing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you think that the who, what, where, when, why thing is like too much and will take too much of our time to like fit that in and kind of explain it?
Don't explain it. Don't just let the title explain it. Say, okay. Welcome to One Day at a Time, day four, what? Today on Depression Week, we're telling you what depression is. Boom. You've explained it. You don't have to spend a lot of time on it. You just used the name to imply what it is. And as long as the rest of your episode fulfills the promise of that, then don't spend 60 seconds trying to explain the whole podcast conception to people. I don't think you need to.
Yeah.
And my next question is, oh my gosh, the time is like really stressing me out and I keep forgetting everything. Okay. Is a discussion format, like a good format for a science podcast, or is that, like even if we don't include our personal stories that much, is it still kind of distracting from the science aspect of it?
I wouldn't have a round table if that's what you mean by discussion, because you're not scientists. If you got some scientists to have a round table with, yes, that would be great. But you need to do an edited sort of a documentary approach, explaining what depression is and using your personal stories as sound ups along the way to kind of illustrate the points. Because if you just do roundtable, I mean, roundtable is a way to actually, you know, make things more natural. But in this case, you don't have the credibility to say, and we've gathered four people, you know, you'd have to book in guests to do that.
Okay. That's good to know.
And so you can still use that off the cuff roundtable way to record your personal stories and excerpt the things that you need. But the bulk of explaining what depression is, I think, is going to have to be something that one of you voices.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then it's a matter of, you know, finding sources. Maybe you can find some fair use natural sound of things to break it up, stuff like that. Just kind of widen your perspective of what can go into it.
Okay.
All right. I think that gives us a pretty good direction.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It definitely changes everything, and now I'm freaking out.
That's a good sign. Just let that pass. It'll pass through you. Fear is the mind killer. And then just focus on like, okay, what are the aspects of this that I can contribute it to? You know, maybe Melissa, your role here is to be the personal
time.
Okay.
All right. You guys are going to nail this. I know it. Go get them.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
Let's listen in on their work sessions.
I think our strong suit's going to be leaning into the mental health stuff. It's just what, you know, what angle do we want to attack that at?
Yeah.
Why would the listeners care is obviously the question we have to ask. So what kind of information are we presenting? Especially Travis, you're saying Scott wanted something new, so to speak, or wanted to be...
He wants to learn something.
Yeah, he wants to learn something. And
which
one
I think we have that.
I think we do.
Yeah, too. And one thing I think we can do is not all podcasts have to be weekly. So we can frame this as a daily, you know, Monday through Friday type
like
podcast where
type
each,
thing.
Yeah, like each week we
is
pick
a different topic.
Is a topic, and then we dive deep on an aspect of that topic every day. So we cover something with from five different angles or five different parts of it or something like that.
Mm, I like that idea.
Five and five or something like that, or five. So that at least like feels like an established norm. Where,
yeah,
if we use like TV shows, who, what, where, when, why? So, okay, who's on what TV shows? We could kind of go with that kind of mentality, I guess. And it might give us a structure for a show name or something like that.
Yeah, and I do like that as kind of a framing device where you're picking a piece of whatever your topic is, and that's your and there's a cadence to it. where people know when they turn in, when they tune into the show every Monday, they're, you know, we start off talking about the topic and the this aspect of the topic, and then Tuesday and so on. So I kind of like
when,
that.
So when the judges get our final piece, it could be Thursday show. So how do we frame this to be a science show with the, you know, who, what, where, when, why of science, which also, again, science is also a crazy, stupid, broad term. So hello, friends, and welcome back to Daily Cognitive Questions, where we continue our journey into the science of mental health. Today on Depression Week, we will go into the research found about why depression happens. To help answer that question, here's our host, Melissa Kruger.
I am very excited for this week. I personally have depression and have been asked a lot of the why questions that I'll be talking about today. And when I get asked those why questions, I've always wanted to know the science behind depression, just so I can have some material to back up my answers to it. One of the why questions that I'm referring to sounds something like this.
I don't get why you're depressed. I mean, everything seems to be going great in your life right now. Nothing horrible has happened, so why are you so sad?
When I get met with questions like this, I've always felt like I need a reason to be depressed. But the truth is, the reason could just be that that's the way that you are and your brain is just different from the person asking. So why is this different? Researchers have suggested that an imbalance of chemicals in the brain known as neurotransmitters could contribute to depression. So first of all, let's go over what neurotransmitters are. Neurotransmitters are chemical messengers that send information between neurons. There are three neurotransmitters that primarily tie to depression. Those three neurotransmitters are serotonin, norepinephrine, and dopamine. Serotonin naturally occurs in the body. It carries signals between neurons and is found in the intestine and central nervous system. Norepinephrine is a hormone and brain neurotransmitter. Norepinephrine is released into the bloodstream by the adrenal glands to give the body energy in times of stress. An example of this would be the fight or flight response, which is a result of norepinephrine in the body. Dopamine is a neurotransmitter that plays a critical role in movement, emotion, memory, and thinking, but it also plays a role in motivation and reward. So things such as addiction can occur because of the stimulation from dopamine. So those are just a few types of neurotransmitters, and a depressive brain may have an imbalance of one or all three of these types. So why would you have an imbalance in neurotransmitters? You may have too little of a specific neurotransmitter, or you don't have enough molecules to make that specific neurotransmitter. So you don't have enough serotonin, norepinephrine, or dopamine. You also could just not have enough receptor sites to receive the neurotransmitters. So your brain is able to send the signal but not receive it because there aren't enough receptor sites. And the last reason is that the presynaptic cells are taking the neurotransmitter back up before it can reach the receptor cell. Or in other words, the neurotransmitter is being absorbed before it can deliver the message. Now that we have a basic background on neurotransmitters, I want to talk about what parts of the brain are affected by depression. Why do you feel emotionless, slower to function, have no motivation or pleasure, or have increased anxiety and stress when depressed? Why do you behave differently than others if you're depressed? So there are three areas of the brain that are affected by depression. The first one is the amygdala. The amygdala is associated with emotions such as anger, pleasure, sorrow, fear, and sexual arousal. The amygdala is activated when a person recalls emotionally charged memories, such as a frightening situation. So when a person is clinically depressed, they tend to have a hyperactive amygdala, which can cause them to recall those memories more often. So that hyperactive amygdala could be one of the reasons why a depressive will behave differently than others. The second part of the brain is the thalamus. The thalamus receives most sensory information and relays it to the cerebral cortex, which directs high-level functions such as speech, behavioral reactions, movement, thinking, and learning. And notice I said behavioral reactions. So this is a perfect example. A depressed person has more nerve cells in the thalamus, which is scientifically why someone with depression may behave differently. Their brain is receiving sensory input with a greater frequency, which can be overwhelming or difficult to process things for them. And the last area of the brain that is affected is the hippocampus. The hippocampus has a central role in processing long-term memory and recollection. Interplay between the hippocampus and the amygdala might account for the saying, once bitten, twice shy. It's the part of the brain that registers fear. So for example, if you're confronted by a barking, aggressive dog, then you'll have a memory of that experience, and that memory will make you wary of dogs in the future. The hippocampus has been found to be smaller in some depressed people, and research suggests that ongoing exposure to stress hormones impair the growth of nerve cells in this part of the brain. So to put it short, anxiety and stress triggered by memory or past experiences can trigger your depression, which can be intensified by a shrunken or damaged hippocampus, causing more anxiety, and so on. Now that we've gone over neurotransmitters and the parts of the brain affected by depression, you'll be able to answer questions from others, such as why are you depressed, or questions of your own, like why do I feel emotionless, with some science. Medical science has only just scratched the surface of the brain and how it works, and is still learning more every day. Researchers have come far in understanding conditions like depression, but still have a long way to go. As no two brains are alike, nor are the causes, symptoms, and treatments to depression.
Tomorrow, for day 3, we will be going over the who of depression. With an estimated 16.1 million U.S. adults that have had at least one major depressive episode or experienced depressive symptoms in 2015, we will take a closer look at those who remain undiagnosed, those who are medicated, and those lives that were lost. As a disclaimer, the hosts and producers of Daily Cognitive Questions are not health professionals nor scientists. Our sources for today's show are from the National Center for Complementary and Integrative Health, Harvard.edu, and VeryWellMind.com. If you or someone you know is struggling with a mental illness such as depression, please call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255 or visit suicidepreventionlifeline.org.
That was Daily Cognitive Questions, The Why of Depression, Forest Bench Wizard Blast's submission for Science Week. On the next episode, we'll look at the banana hug science experiments, and then we'll close out the week with the judging and elimination episode, where one player will be hanging up their lab coat. It's all coming up this week on America's Next Top Podcaster.